This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Sports on a Sunday morning.
There's a swing and a long one. That's a gunner for Bader.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
Johnson pops a three.
The Bayou Billiken says I'm involved too.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
BK, did you just say freezing fog? I haven't heard that one in a while.
Freezing fog. That's right. Yeah.
Freezing Fog. That sounds like a great name for a band, doesn't it?
It does. I agree.
I love that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one. This is great weather to just sort of warm up and have a cup of coffee, pull a blanket over you, and listen to sports on a Sunday morning. The St. Louis tradition, a lot to get to. Do you stay up late and watch the World Juniors? I imagine that you do.
No, reason. I hate to disappoint you, but we did watch the Canada game last evening. I slept through the Finland-Swedish game, which I guess was just terrific. And then I woke up this morning and watched the beginning of the U.S. game. I plan on watching that later on today.
Big hockey fan right here in Brian Kelly. I am also, and I'm just, Darren Pang's going to join us in an hour, but I do want to say this to you. I'm just happy for you. I'm happy for us. I'm happy for all hockey fans. I really missed it. And we've got a lot of great things going on with college football, college basketball, the NFL playoffs, and, you know, baseball finally will start cranking here in the offseason. But hockey is missed. And there's something about the holidays that I thought really took hockey into another level every year. When you had the holiday crowd in town, the Blues crowds just seemed a little more amped. You had a lot of people in town for the holidays. It was their only chance to get to a Blues game. I missed that a lot. That was one thing that was really lacking during the holidays for me. How about for you?
Yeah, definitely. I'm missing it a whole lot. And I actually got out my USA jersey to wear to watch the games just to kind of get in the mood a little bit more, you know, and step it up a little. And I am really excited about this Blues team. I know we've lost Alex Petrangelo and Steiner's out and Tarasenko's going to be out for a little while. But, you know, Doug Armstrong doesn't let any grass grow, man. He gets right on it and starts filling those holes. And Mike Hoffman's going to be a great addition. And so I am pumped for what camp opens tomorrow. They'll come in today and get checked out medically. And then let's drop the puck on the 11th or the 13th, rather, on the 13th.
Yeah, it's a big day. 13th in Colorado. Yeah, it's a big day today. Today's a big day with the boys getting back together, and they'll travel west a lot, but I'll take it. I mean, like I said on the air, I don't know, a week or so ago, they could wear brown uniforms for all I care or whatever, wear rainbow colored helmets, brown uniforms and mismatch. I don't care what it is. As long as they win. And that's really important. And so, you know, I think for all hockey fans, just to get them back, you know, just to get everything back together. So it's exciting to have hockey back. I'm really excited about it. We'll talk to Darren Pang about it next hour here on KMOX. Also, college football. I know the first thing you mentioned to me this morning, everybody wanted to know how I felt about Indiana losing a bowl game. I was very disappointed. Very, very disappointed. And the team has deserves what they're going to get here is some heat because people – heard them. They wanted themselves known for about a month that they should be involved in the college football playoff discussion, and then they lay an egg against Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. So Indiana lost Ole Miss yesterday 26-20. That said, it was a very exciting season, and I think when you look back on it, you'll see that when you have a team that plays well, that's a good thing. But they're going to have to wear this for a little while. That was a tough one for sure, losing Ole Miss yesterday. But there was a lot of good college football. Kevin Wheeler's going to join us on that. College basketball. Let me set up the show for you. There's so much going on. So Kevin Wheeler's going to join us here in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about the Cardinals, but a lot of college football and some other sports with him. At 10:45, Chris May will be with us. He's the athletic director at St. Louis University. The Billikens are shut down right now because of COVID-19. They've had to pause the men's and women's programs because of COVID positives. We'll talk to him about that at 10:45. At 11:05, the man yesterday for Missouri, Jeremiah Tillman, 25 points and 11 rebounds for Mizzou at Arkansas. They beat the Razorbacks 81-68. Terrific win for the University of Missouri. And we will have him with us, Jeremiah Tillman himself, at 11:05. At 11:15, Darren Pang joins us to talk some hockey, as we just did with BK. At 11:30, here we go with the Fighting Illini again. They look good again. They were tough yesterday against Purdue. Beat them 66-58. And number 15, Illinois, looked nice with Kofi Coburn, 14-10. Brian Barnhart, the voice of the Illini, with us at 11:30 here on KMOX. And then we'll get into some NFL as well, as this is an NFL Sunday. We do have the Chiefs on KMOX at 3:25, 2 o'clock pregame against the Chargers, but the Chiefs have already wrapped up the number one seed in the AFC. The big question is, who's going to be number one in the NFC? Packers and Bears today. We'll preview that game. Big game. Bears can get into the playoffs if they can get a W. And the Browns are going to try to get into the playoffs against the Steelers. They play a little bit later. Lots of NFL to sort out as well. So it's a huge day in sports. Once again, that's why we do sports on a Sunday morning every day from 10 to 12. When we come back, we'll be joined by Kevin Wheeler, the host of Sports Open Line. Our thanks to Brian Kelly for anchoring our news all morning long. I'm Tom Ackerman. I'll take it from here. James O'Sullivan is our producer. We'll be back with Wheels right after this.
From KMOX Sports,
here's the pitch.
Welcome back to Sports on a Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
And welcome back, Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. I'm Tom Ackerman. Pleased to welcome in, live here at 10:15, the host of Sports Open Line, Kevin Wheeler, to chat a little sports with us. How you doing, Wheels, on this Sunday morning?
I'm good, Tom. I'm good. I'm ready to do whatever it is we need to do. I've spent a lot of time in the last few days watching college football. Had a little baseball action for me yesterday, Tom. I spent the day coaching, so I'm ready, man. I'm good.
That's good. Let's start with a little baseball. We're going to get into the college football scene and the NFL a little bit and some other things going on, but I appreciate you joining us. What do you expect here? Do you think that this week things start to pick up a little bit in Major League Baseball? We haven't had much activities, particularly on the Cardinals side, but I think just overall haven't seen much movement in Major League Baseball.
Now, we had a little run there right after Christmas last week, right? I mean, the Padres got the baseball world busied up a little bit by being as active as they were and getting Yu Darvish and Blake Snell. I would think that we're going to start to see some things trickle in, but you know, I still think maybe later on in the month is going to be the busier time, and we still don't know, you know, when teams are going to be reporting for spring training. I mean, that's something that's got to get sorted out here real soon. I mean, think about it. We're technically, what, 6 weeks away from the normal spring training report date, and we have no idea what's going on. I mean, the players and the owners got to get together and figure this out. And I know they don't have all the information, which is part of the reason why I think we might still have some more delays on, you know, the real consistent action. I do think there are going to be some things happening. It sounds like, Tom, the one Japanese starting pitcher, Sugihara, is going to be getting something done soon. He's got a sign by the 7th, so we've got 4 days for that to happen. And there are a bunch of teams that are interested in him, and maybe that shakes some other things loose, too.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, the Cardinals, when I look at them, and, you know, we typically will say that this team moves really by their own philosophy. I mean, they try to figure out a way to do things where they keep themselves successful. But I don't believe for a second that this team is satisfied with what they have. I believe that this team understands that it needs to upgrade offensively. I would never question their desire to win. And I think that they are trying to be smart about it. if I'm a Cubs fan, I'm feeling a little hopeless right now. And if I'm a Cardinals fan looking at the Cubs situation, not necessarily that I feel better about the direction my team is going, but I feel better that I'm not them. If you're the Cardinals, if you're a Cardinals fan, you do not ever want to be into a situation. I would much rather be a team that is in contention every year than to have to deal with a rebuilding scenario.
Well, we haven't had to do it, right? I mean, when's the last time the Cardinals tore down a team and brought it down to the studs and started over, or they started moving out? You know, I mean, they've parted with significant players. I mean, we watched Albert Pujols walk out the door, and then the very next 2 years, they're right back and making deep playoff runs. And, you know, it's been a long run. I mean, at the very least, Tom, it's been a 20-year run of a team that's been just consistently good. They're not every year good. You know, they've had a couple of clunker seasons in there, but mostly in the race. And that's the philosophy, is to stay in it, give yourself a chance. And people can disagree, right? I mean, look, the big disagreement we hear from Cardinal fans is they'd like to see the team kind of, quote-unquote, load up and go for it once in a while. That's just not how they want to do it. They don't want to load up 1 year and then maybe not have something to do the next a couple of years later. They want every year to be at least a chance. And again, it's a difference in viewpoint from how some fans. I don't want to make every fan the same, but some fans see it compared to how the front office sees it. But I think this year is going to present an opportunity, and I hope that, Tom, that when we end up getting to spring training, whenever that is, that there are a couple of additions, and they don't even need to be blockbuster additions. You add a couple of pieces that can maybe be platoon split guys, maybe certain kind of matchup type guys, and you could have an offense that's better enough to take advantage of what is going to be, I don't see any question, the strongest unit in the division, which is going to be the Cardinals bullpen. I don't see anybody else who's as strong in any other particular area as the Cardinals are going to be in the back end of the pen. Actually, forget the back end, the entirety of the pen.
Yeah, it's one of the points that you made in your column about the five New Year's wishes for the Cardinals is to utilize that bullpen. And do you think that they will be able to, let's say, with a lot of question about the number of innings they'd have to give their starters, that they'd be able to rely on that bullpen to carry the bulk of it?
Well, I mean, I've heard, you know, Mike Schilt said to us that, you know, that people may be making that the innings limit thing out to be a little bit bigger thing than it really is. And I was actually glad to hear him say that, because it's not necessarily that you're not going to be careful. It's just that, you know, guys did throw. And I think Mike made a really good point on the Countdown to Opening Day show a couple weeks ago. It's like, you know, that entire time that the team was off, from, you know, when spring training was shut down in March until they came back in July, those guys were all throwing that entire time. Now, they weren't competitive innings. They weren't, you know, on television pitching in front of fans and going against other major league hitters. But your arm was being used. So it's not like they're going to be, you know, it's not like a guy that was hurt who was completely shut down during that time and then having to come back. And by the way, we also have examples of guys like, say, Adam Wainwright, missing an entire season with Tommy John surgery in 2011 and throwing 198 innings the first year back. So, yeah, I think with veterans, they're going to be a little less careful, right? With the kids, though, with the younger guys, with Flaherty, with people like that, they probably would err on the side of caution. And that's where you can lean on a bullpen that has a little bit of everything. And that's what I was kind of getting into, Tom, when I was talking about leaning into that. I mean, you're going to have guys that can go multiple innings, right? I mean, depending on who's in the rotation and who's in the pen, you'll have guys like Carlos Martinez and Daniel Ponce de Leon and Austin Gomber and John Gant. Alex Reyes can go multiple innings. You know, I think that they've got a number of guys. Hennessy Cabrera can do that too as a guy that's worked as a starter and I'm sure will prep as a starter coming into spring. They've got all of that. You've got power arms. You've got some of the better breaking balls in the National League with guys like Gallegos and Reyes. I mean, you've just got a little bit of everything, a lot of heat, right? If you want guys that can throw 100 miles an hour, you've got three or four of those. So I think everything is lining up for that to be kind of the strength of the team.
I talked to John Mozeliak. He is not on the show today, giving him a little time off of the show. We've had him so many times throughout the year that I think it's important sometimes to give the guy a little vacation. Besides, you know, until something starts to shake here, we'll get his reaction on it, get his explanation, whatever moves he makes. One thing we've mutually agreed on, Mo and I, is that we don't talk about free agents. And that's really just a blanket thing, Major League Baseball. You don't talk about free agents out there. They kind of frown on that anyway. But you and I can.
Yep.
So let me ask you, and you mentioned them in your column, so if you want to throw those out there, go for it. But back to the offense, because that's my number one priority. Well, my number one priority is Yadi and Waino, of course.
Right.
But
right.
priority is to upgrade this offense. Who do you think would be a great fit, honestly, if you were to go out there and acquire someone? A trade, there are a lot of things that could possibly happen, but it doesn't look like the Cardinals want to make a deal unless it's of an exchange of salaries that helps them. What about just going out and signing somebody? Who makes sense?
Well, it makes sense from a fan's perspective to talk about guys like George Springer and you know the top free agent bats, but we know that's very unlikely. I mean, given what they've said about the budget, and also given you know where they'll be sitting next year with another $60-65 million coming off the books, you know a little and by the way, an amazing free agent class as of right now. We don't know how many of those guys will sign extensions before they ever get to free agency, but for now it's looking like an amazing free agent class. I think we're looking at mid-tier to kind of, I don't want to say lower tier, but lower money adds. But there's a lot of guys out there that fit what you're looking for. If you're looking for a left-handed hitting infielder who brings a little bit of pop, who doesn't strike out a lot, who can give you a guy that can match up with some of the guys you already have. I mean, and our buddy Bernie Miklas has written about him a couple times here lately, too. Tommy Listell is a really interesting player, and he's probably not going to be really expensive. This is kind of the point. But if you're looking for that kind of ad who gives you high-end contact skill, one of the best in baseball at putting the ball in play, and he'll hit the ball over the fence every once in a while. I like Eddie Rosario. I don't know that they're going to add an outfielder, Tom, but if they are, that's the kind of guy that makes a lot of sense because you talk about consistency, you talk about power. I mean, this is a guy that hits 25 home runs a year every year, and he's done it for like five straight years in the big league. So you're getting the same thing every year when you get a guy like that. But there's another couple of guys that I think are a little less discussed, like Jonathan Scope as an example, who is, again, another guy that's a legitimate 20 to 25 home runs a year. Not a great on-base guy, doesn't get on base a whole lot. But he's also a high-end defensive player. I mean, he fits in with what the Cardinals want, right? They want strong defense. Well, if you're looking to replace Colton Wong at second base and maybe free up Tommy Edmund to move around to play some at second and some at third, that's a guy that probably is going to end up being pretty cheap who hit, what, 20-something, 20, I think, I'm sorry, 12, I think it was like 8 or 9 home runs this past season in a third of a year. And this is what he does. He goes out and hits 20, 25 homers and plays good defense. There's a guy, Tom, that I'm really interested in that is a bit of a mystery because he's coming off elbow surgery, so we don't know exactly when he's going to be ready, but the reports are he's going to be ready around sometime in March. I really like Danny Santana. Played for the Rangers the last couple of years. He stunk in 2020, but in 2019 just had a brilliant year. He's a switch hitter that doesn't have a platoon split, and he literally plays every position on the field. Could you use a guy like that? That plays every position on the field and also has a high-end exit velocity on both sides of the plate. I mean, I think I could, and by the way, can run a little bit too. I'd say that's a pretty good player that you wouldn't have to commit a position to, but he plays all three outfield positions, plays first, second, third. Yeah, you probably don't want him at short, but he can play there. I think that's the kind of guy that really helps this team.
Yeah, I'm sensing a trend here in Major League Baseball. The days of trotting out the same lineup each and every day are over. If you want to succeed in this game, you got to play the matchups and you got to have speed, athleticism, and hard contact available every day, no matter who's pitching. And I like that philosophy. Hey, even the Dodgers do it. You made that point on our Cards Conference. The Dodgers do it. They're the best team in baseball. Far and away, they were the best team in baseball in the regular season. They did it by implementing matchups and doing it over and over again. So I would love it. I'd love to see that kind of depth. The Cardinals have tried, I think, to to do that a little bit, but it hasn't worked out. They don't have enough hitters in the outfield, and you got to find somebody, either a third baseman, an outfielder, someone has got to be able to come in there and create some havoc, and that has not been the case. And if the Cardinals can do that, they're going to be very, very successful, Kevin.
Yeah, and that's why I'm attracted to a guy like Danny Santana. I know there have been some other conversations about Jurickson and Profar, who has had a couple of decent years lately. He's not as consistent as a guy, you know, as some of the other guys, but he makes a ton of contact, doesn't strike out, and again can probably play six or seven positions, and that may be the most useful kind of player for this team to kind of move someone around, or maybe multiple someones, because Tommy Edman can do that too, and use that as your way of playing the matchups. And you know, I'm a person that prefers the single lineup, Tom. I like the, you know, like the old MV3 days where you can just roll out the same eight every day, and I prefer it, but you don't have it right now. You're not likely to have it this year, and the best teams in baseball, I mean, look at the two teams that played for the World Series, both play it the other way. They play matchups. It was Tampa Bay on the low payroll side, and the Dodgers are doing it with a huge payroll, so no harm in working on it when you kind of have that need.
I'm going to ask you two questions. One, can you hang on through the break so we can talk some football? But two, can you answer this question for me, finally, on baseball? Do you feel like, and I'm not asking you to predict the future, just your gut, do you think that we will have some clarity this week on Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright?
Yes, I can hang around. I'm not doing anything until football starts at noon. So, yes, we're all good. And the second part, I don't think this week. I mean, we haven't heard anything. I mean, we haven't seen a report that says this team has made an offer to Yadier Molina or definite. We've heard teams that have interest that have checked in, but it hasn't progressed past that. And until we start to see a little bit more of that, I don't know that means we're very close. And I wonder, Tom, in the catching market, if things need to happen with JT Realmuto before they're going to move with Yadi, because the teams that lose out on Realmuto might turn their attention to him. And that's my biggest worry with him is, you know, somebody like, say, Philly loses Realmuto and they're like, well, we still want to be good. Let's go make a run. The question is, you know, does whatever situation that ends up being out there, does that appeal to Molina in terms of playing time, dollars, location, quality of the team, and all of that?
Let's take a quick break. That's Kevin Wheeler. I'm Tom Ackerman. We'll talk a little football next, and then Chris May, the athletic director at SLU, is with us at 10:45. At 11:05, it's the big man from Mizzou. He was terrific yesterday. Jeremiah Tillman's going to join us live at 11:05. 11:15, hockey with Darren Pang. 11:30, the voice of the Illini, Brian Barnhart. Don't go anywhere. It's sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. I'm Tom Ackerman. Back after this.
From KMOX Sports.
Here's the pitch.
Welcome back to Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Oh, yeah!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
How about Courtney Ramey yesterday? The Webster Groves High School star won a couple state championships there, playing for Texas 84-59. Texas over Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse. That ties for the worst home loss in Jayhawks history. And Courtney, one of the great players in the country. It was exciting to be able to see a St. Louis product to do that. But that wasn't the biggest news in Texas, Kevin Wheeler. I'm Tom Ackerman. Biggest news in Texas was that Tom Herman was fired as the head coach of the Longhorns yesterday. And, you know, that overtook everything, overtook the Orange Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl. That was the biggest news. Steve Sarkisian, the offensive coordinator for Alabama, takes over as the head coach. It's interesting, isn't it, what Texas represents? I mean, when's the last time that they were an elite? It's been a long time, and I'm not sure. It's hard to succeed there. It really is. The expectations there are unrealistic, I think.
Well, I mean, the problem is that, you know, it's like a few other places. I mean, Texas A&M tends to be this way. Auburn has already shown us that they're this way with moving on from Gus Malzahn. You know, that basically, if you're not Alabama or Clemson, it's not good enough. I mean, that seems to be the standard. And look, I'm from my alma mater is not too far off of that in terms of how fans view it, right? I mean, we Miami fans expect a team that's going to be a contender. Unfortunately, it's been 17, 18 years since they've been a contender. And we've rolled through, what, three, four coaches in that period of time. It's like every 3 or 4 years, there's a coaching search. The difference between Miami and Texas, for example, is that Texas has all the money in the world. They're arguably the richest program in the country. So if they're not getting bang for their buck, they're moving on because they got more bucks to spend. And, you know, I don't know if there's an easy way to make this happen, right? I mean, Tom Herman came in with an amazing reputation. You know, he came in with the Ohio State background as somebody that was one of the next big things. And, you know, maybe the problem there is that he, you know, he's a guy that had never been the head coach, especially of a program of that magnitude. And, you know, it's a hard thing to do that the first time. But, you know, Steve Sarkisian is also a failed head coach. He's a hell of a coach, but his best years have come at USC under Pete Carroll and at Alabama under Nick Saban. I don't know that that's a coincidence, but he's a brilliant offensive mind.
He is that's for sure. And Alabama and Ohio State are going to go head-to-head in the national championship with Sarkisian learning from the best in Nick Saban. And on the other side, I think that Ohio State team was undervalued. I mean, that is – I think they got it right here. I think these are the two best teams in the country. I mean, Clemson beat Notre Dame, but they lost to him earlier without Trevor Lawrence. Ohio State looked absolutely fabulous in that playoff game, that semifinal game. And I think it's going to be a heck of a game. I think that Ohio State's defense is very good. I think as long as Justin Fields is healthy, he has the weapons on offense. Alabama, the only way that you can stop them, is you've got to get pressure on the quarterback. If you don't do that, he is just going to pick you apart, and they're going to pick you apart because they have all the weapons. They have the best player in the country in Devontae Smith. They have the best running back in the country in Najee Harris, and they have one of the best handful of quarterbacks. I think he could end up being a late first-round pick in Mac Jones, Kevin.
Yeah, the problem – you're right about disrupting Mac Jones. The problem is it's really hard to do because somebody's open fast. I mean, that's just the way that it is. I mean, Devontae Smith is open usually anytime you want him. They throw the ball to either of their tight ends, and the young tight end, Billingsley, looks like he's a future NFL player, looks like he's a future star. You know, you got a guy that's a quote-unquote complimentary receiver in John Metchie, who's probably going to be the next high draft pick in a couple of years out of Alabama. And let's not forget that offensive line is loaded with future NFL players, even though they lost their All-American center, Dickerson. They are going to be really hard to beat. And look, there's historically speaking, I mean, just looking at the Bama run, this is not a great defense for Alabama, right? This is not one of their dominant defenses that Nick Saban's had in this last, 10, 15-year run that they've had. But it's still what holds up is you've got to be able to outscore them. You've got to be, in my opinion, you've got to be able to put up upper 30s, maybe 40 points if you expect to beat Alabama. It's not that you can't beat them any other way, but they just came off their lowest scoring game of the year against Notre Dame. That's the lowest scoring game they had, 31 points. You want to know what's even funnier? The next lowest scoring game, Tom, was the opener against Mizzou. And that was 38 points. They scored 40 or more in every other game. So if you're going to beat them, you've got to plan on scoring 40-plus points. And, you know, that's not an easy thing to do because they do have a talented defense. But it's also, you know, just, again, that's a lot of points to score. And Notre Dame didn't have the kind of offense that was built to do that. That ball control is not going to beat Alabama. But what Ohio State does gives them a chance. And if you look at Alabama over the years, the two things that have popped up that can give them trouble are quarterbacks that can beat you with the big pass, like the big play, because you're just not going to grind down the field against Alabama. They're too good. You got to beat them with big plays and mobile quarterbacks. And you know, they got the right guy in Justin Fields for that, who's certainly looking like he's going to be, if not the second pick in the draft, the top five pick for sure.
That spread is 8, by the way, in Vegas. Alabama by 8. It opened at 7, grew to 7.5 by the end of yesterday, and it's now an 8-point spread. If I were putting a little something on that, I'd take Ohio State plus the 8. I'll be honest with you. I think this is going to be a tight game. I really do. I think Ohio State is motivated, and they're going to be under the same fuel that they had going into the Clemson game, Kevin. I think that people will pretty much count them out even after their terrific performance against Clemson.
Yeah, I think that may be, but you know, one thing that worries me is Ohio State's secondary is not particularly good. You know, there's one of their starting corners, I believe it's Wade, struggled badly this year. They had problems with their safety play too. And I mean, look, Clemson's good, But Clemson is not as good as Alabama. I mean, they're just not. I mean, Trevor Lawrence was more talented than Mac Jones. But Clemson's offensive line is not as good as it has been in past years. Clemson's defense isn't as good as it's been in past years. I mean, you look around, looking up and down the list of players that they have there, there aren't that many of them that you'd look at and say, those are all surefire NFL players on the defensive side. So, you know, this is not to diminish what Ohio State did, because Ohio State was completely impressive against Clemson and dominated that game starting in the second quarter. I just think that if you look at everything that Clemson can do, other than the talent of the quarterback, Alabama is in a better position to do it. They're better on the offensive and defensive lines. So, and by the way, if I were you, if I were forced to make a bet today, I would also lay the points. I think Alabama's going to win the game, but I wouldn't put it beyond Ohio State to keep it close and maybe win the game. But I mean, I if I'm really a betting man, though, I'm going to wait, Tom. Give me another 3 or 4 days to see where the line moves. If the line moves, yeah. starts to go up more, I'm going to jump on that. And if it starts to go the other direction, it's going to make me think that the sharp bettors, who usually wait a little bit, who don't always jump in right away, I want to see what the sharp bettors are doing, because those are the people to follow.
I'm with you, and you make a great point about the Ohio State secondary. You've got to somebody's got to cover Devontae Smith. You can't double him, because then they'll find a way to pick you apart in other areas, and Devontae's the best player in the country. He's going to win the Heisman. I'd vote for him for the Heisman. He has just about everything. And Mike Penix, the Indiana quarterback, threw for 491 yards against Ohio State.
Right.
So we know how that went, and we know how I feel about the whole situation. I felt like Indiana got slighted, and then with my tail between my legs, watched them lose to Ole Miss 26-20. That was a tough one. Now, without their starting quarterback, yes, but Ole Miss was missing all kinds of players. It was very disappointing, and they're going to have to wear that for a long time. Did you think that anyone got slighted? I mean, do you think that the top four, did Notre Dame deserve to be four? I think your answer is yes. Did Texas A&M make a point yesterday at all?
No. I mean, look, could Texas A&M have been a better team than Notre Dame? Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Was it clear and definitive that they had a better track record? No, it just wasn't. I mean, there's an argument to be had there. I mean, it's not an invalid argument. It's not something where you can say, well, they don't have any point at all. I mean, the only team that Texas A&M lost to was Alabama. And they had a good win against Florida. I mean, that was a good team that they beat. But Florida's also a three-loss team, and the only loss that Notre Dame had was to Clemson. And then, you know, those two teams beat each other. I don't have a problem at all with the four that they picked. I have a problem with the general system, because it is set up to leave out everybody that's not from a Power 5 conference. I mean, it just is. I mean, first of all, you can't even get all the Power 5 in. So if you can't get all of them in, you're already in a flawed system. And, you know, so that part is clear. This needs to expand. It needs to include more people. But the reality is, you know, Cincinnati didn't play enough good opponents. And, you know, they're not a team. You can't make it. It's a lot of it's about track record. And if you don't have, you know, like their biggest win of the regular season, Tom, was Tulsa. Well, Tulsa lost a bowl game to a 3-win Mississippi State team. So, and that's a motivated Tulsa team, right? You're in a bowl, you're trying to prove something, and you get beat by a 3-win team. I mean, that's not going to stand up well. So, yeah, I think they got the right four. I would be fine with an argument for Texas A&M, but the bigger problem is they got to fix the system.
That they do, and we'll see what they end up doing here moving forward. But in the meantime, I can't deny my love for college football, and I'll be glued to Alabama, Ohio State.
Yep.
And hoping just to be entertained. It'll be on January 11th. Looking forward to the chatter leading up to that. We'll continue this conversation tomorrow at 11, Kevin. We do it every Monday on Facebook. It's our Cards Conference, but we veer into other sports as well. We'll definitely answer any questions you might have about baseball and other sports. It's on Facebook Live every Monday at 11 o'clock. It's a great way to start the week. Kevin Wheeler will join me for it, and I appreciate you taking a little time on your Sunday morning to be on Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Ah, glad to do it. Have some fun. Tell Chris May I said hello.
Absolutely. The SLU Athletic Director is with us next. Kevin's on Sports Open Line every night at 6:15, and he hosts Countdown to Opening Day with Mike Claiborne as well in the middle of the week. And we always appreciate that. It's just that time of year where we start thinking about what the Cardinals will look like. And I am still hoping that they're going to start making some moves here and put this team together for 2021 that can rocket to the top of the division and hopefully challenge some of the big boys in the National League. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll talk to Chris May, the athletic director at SLU. They are on pause right now, the men's and women's basketball programs. We'll get an update from him. Don't forget Jeremiah Tillman, the Mizzou forward, is with us at 11:05. And hockey fans, hang on, because 11:15, Darren Pang joins us live to talk about the Blues, who are opening training camp. They're on the ice tomorrow. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning, and we're back right after this.
From KMOX Sports.
Here's the pitch.
Welcome back to Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Oh, yeah!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Jeremiah Tillman, Tilly, the big man from Missouri, is with us at 11:05 after a terrific performance yesterday at Arkansas. 25 points, career best for him to go along with 11 rebounds as Mizzou beat Arkansas. Illinois looked good as well. They beat Purdue, and Brian Barnhart, the voice of the Illini, will be with us at 11:30 this morning. Tom Ackerman, Sports on a Sunday Morning, joined now by someone I know wishes he could have had a couple more games under his belt, and that's the athletic director at St. Louis University, Chris May, after the Duquesne and UMass games were postponed due to COVID-19 protocols. Good morning, Chris. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Good morning, Tom. Happy New Year to you. I hope all is well with you.
Happy New Year. Things are well. You sound great, and it's always good to chat with you, although it's tough during the circumstances. I know that the hard part here is that SLU has been so good, so careful, and so successful during this entire basketball run that it's hard, isn't it, when you have to put things on pause, but it's where we are right now.
Well, Tom, it for sure is. As I pulled up the A-10 basketball standings. In fact, we had an A-10 call this morning already. But as I pull up the standings and I look at how well our team has done, and we made it to December 30th and then had a problem. But, you know, it's a group that is really committed to working hard, to doing everything they can to get on the court. And right now we're in a pause, but I'm sure I'm confident they're doing the same right now to get back at it. It's a group that spent a long off season of really committing themselves to their trades. And, you know, Jordan Goodwin and Hassan French and Javante Perkins, our seniors, really have helped guide and lead this group and get them in position to have success. So though it's a tough moment right now, we'll get back at it in a week or two here. And then I'm confident that we've got a team that'll be fun to watch as they've been so far. You know, we're high in the Ken Palm, and we did some great work in the non-conference schedule. Travis Ford and his team really did an awesome job, and so it's really an exciting time. We wish we could be out there right now, but we'll be out there soon.
Yeah, it's not your fault that other teams don't want to play you, by the way. I wouldn't want to play you either. It's a really good Pelicans team that lost one game, right? I mean, they lose to Minnesota. As it turns out, Minnesota's pretty darn good, Chris.
Well, Minnesota can really shoot the lights out, especially at home. And so we ran into a tough one up there, but they're going to win a lot of games the rest of the year. And, you know, we beat a really good LSU team and a good NC State team and some others that are going to do really well in their conference. So our guys really, and again, I give all the credit to Travis and his staff and our student athletes because they really – did a great job in the offseason of preparing themselves for this season. And expectations are high, as they should be, because we've got some great experience, and then we've got some young kids. I mean, Yuri Collins was playing. I mean, I think he leads the country in assist to turnover ratio right now. But, you know, he also led the country as a freshman, the top freshman assist getter last year. So you've got Yuri, the local kid. You've got T.J. Hargrove that just keeps getting better and better. You got Fred Thatch in the last 4 or 5 days of practice before we got shut down was starting to show the Fred Thatch of old. He really was playing great. And so you go on down the line. It's a group that's really fired up. They enjoy playing together. And, again, we're excited when we can get back on the court at the A-10.
Yeah, I'm with you. LSU has only taken two losses. Their other one was yesterday. I watched them against Florida. They're awfully good, yeah. And you were able to handle them. Chris, the women's team is also paused right now. They've gone through this before, but tell us as much as you can about what the protocol is. As I understand it, it is a 14-day quarantine, so that would mean that your road games would have to be postponed this coming week as well.
Correct. We work within the city of St. Louis guidelines, and it is a 14-day quarantine within the city. It just depends on which area you are and what the public health protocols are. But in the city of St. Louis, it's a 14-day process, so we're going through that. We continue to test to make sure we don't have any other issues that we might not know about, but we continue to test. We'll go through the protocol, and then there's a back-to-play protocol. So we'll go through all those while keeping this group, both groups, focused on the task at hand, and then we'll get back at it.
Keep everyone away from each other and go through all of that and then get back to it. And on the women's side, I know that Lisa Stone's team, boy, they were ready to go. I mean, they had an Atlantic 10 opener on New Year's Day, Chris, and that's a group that's been through a lot also.
Well, they have, and they're picked third in the league, and they're highly, they've got a talented group led by Kaija Harbison, the guard out of Louisville, and you've got Rachel Kent, you've got Lauren Hughes locally here, and Brooke Flowers, and it's a talented group on our women's side. We just got to get them back on the court, and so you said it best. The key right now. I mean, to have a problem, it isn't an issue with COVID. The key is how do you deal with it? How do you get everybody separated? And how do you do a reset? The key is the reset. And do you get a pure, clean reset and then start? And so we're spending a lot of time and energy right now to make sure there is nobody, that they're in a pure quarantine, not around anyone, and going through this process. But, again, we'll get through it and be back at it. And what's great about it, Tom, not great about this specific, but, you turn the calendar, and on January 28th, the campus is going to open again. And it went so well during the fall, and all the accolades have to go to Dr. Postello and the staff and the faculty who did such a great job on campus this fall. But we're going to be back at it at the end of January. We'll have all of our teams will be competing this spring. And so from our baseball team that's been led by Darren Hendrickson and won so many A-10 championships to Kevin Kalish's men's soccer team, who's in great position, our women's soccer team with Katie Shields, who's back-to-back A-10 champions. You go on down the line, but there's 350 student-athletes who will be competing on the fields, on the courts, in the pools starting in February. So there's a lot of anticipation and a lot of excitement about the Billiken athletes as they come back at the end of January.
Yeah, these are just great people. You know, they work so hard. There's so many people involved, so much staff, and it's important to reset and get this thing going again, and certainly you will do that. I always appreciate the contribution on the show when you can, and for being a great partner. We love carrying the Billikens games, and we can't wait for the next one to come, but we will wait for everyone to get healthy and back at it. Chris, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, Tom, we appreciate it. And KMOX being the leader and the mothership in this town, we couldn't be more proud to be back where the Billikens have had such great success. And a big part of it is your commitment to college basketball. You and what your group does in supporting and promoting college basketball is second to none. We can't thank you enough for doing so, and we're proud to be here.
Well, we love it. We absolutely love it. And thank you for the time very much. Have a great rest of your day.
Tom, take care. Thank you.
There's Chris May, the athletic director at SLU. We're back after the news.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.